Hello, hello. Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to this call this afternoon, this evening. And I'm just going to unmute for a moment and just check if everybody's here. Yes, we can hear each other. Good. Okay. Wonderful. So, well, let's start with a small meditation. And just closing eyes, sitting somewhat straight. Taking a deep breath. And allow yourself to sink down through the belly point, through the perineum, down into the ground. Through the earth, center of the earth. Through the earth into source. Into infinity. The unknown, the mystery that cannot be known. And allow yourself to come up to the point in your belly, and then go further up to your heart. Just take a breath for a moment, feel your heart point. Your throat. Your third eye in the center of your head, the cave of Brahman. And go out through your head. Up into the sky. Into infinity. Just allow your awareness to just spread out. And without any focusing, notice your alignment. Just feel it. Or a sense of well-being, or a sense of sitting in a way that you're held by your energy. Allow your chin not to lift up. Just have it slightly tucked. And just allow yourself to not grasp for any understanding. Do not observe anything. Do not touch any image, any sensation, any thought. Take another deep breath. And just allow yourself to be so effortless. Dropping all looking, doing, understanding, explaining, doubting. Just for a moment. If that's here, let it be, but it's not who you are. It's not interesting. Redirect your gaze back to where it originates. Life is forever changing, and there is nowhere to arrive. And when we live in the surrender of life happening, and identification shifts to that being life which is living and happening, there is a sense of bliss or well-being that is experienced within the consciousness. Not necessarily within the body, as body is underlying the forces of nature and the karmas, and they appear to be yours. And when we see through the identification of mine and thine, the programming of duality on this planet, then there is just a lot of programming. And you as consciousness do not have to move with this constant up and down of the programming. You can be right now, always right now in this moment, be free to be that which you already are. I thought I would share my experience of what we call awakening. And I know some of you might be interested. And I'm offering that because of the events that are happening for some of you. And it's not meant as a way to compare, a look. But there's a transmission in that. And there's also something that might assist you now or later. In the traditional sense, the full awakening is either called Nirvikalpa Samadhi or Nirvana. I'm not sure what it's called actually in the West, the people that experienced it. Because we live in a different time, these experiences are now experienced not with the heart stopping or the breath stopping. Although there can be some changes in breath that go on and such things. In 1999, October 15th or something like that, I woke up during the middle of the night, and it was a precursor of something that was taking place, and it had to do with the emotional body. I woke up, it was 2:02 because I was lying on my belly, and I was lifting my hat and looking at the clock because I thought, what time is it? And as I lifted my head, my entire room was shifting, and it was like I was coming out of being underwater, and I was watching the entire room or the experience drain out, like my head would be exiting. That's the best way I can experience water. And from that on, after it was all drained off, I could say, I wasn't emotionally suffering anymore. For 3 days after that, my mind was very combobulated because everything was spinning. I just kept spinning internally. My energy was spinning and spinning. And that was a very interesting step because nobody really talked about it. And I didn't really understand what that exactly was, but I did notice that I was emotionally not suffering. But from then on, I began to become aware that I was mentally suffering. And this mental suffering, that was something that needed to be transcended. When I was invited to go to Australia, which is in my astrology, Australia, New Zealand, along Malaysia and Thailand, is on a Jupiter line, which is the planet Guru. Guru, the planet, the expander, the awakener. I went there and I was on a property. It was about 72 hectares large. I mean, it's huge. It was beautiful. There were mountains on that property. It was a paradise. And on January 2nd, 2000, it started in the morning. I was, I think around 10 or 11 o'clock, I began to have a sense I needed to go inward. The draw was so strong that it became stronger and stronger, and I had a sense I was like literally dying. I had the sense of I wanted to put my body somewhere. I began to have this experience of that I needed to put my body in a safe place. But because, although it was summer and it was warm, I couldn't just lie on the grass. I would have loved to do that, but we just had seen the day before there are very poisonous snakes. There was leeches everywhere. There was all these animals and insects that weren't really safe to be there. So I couldn't put my body anywhere. I didn't have my own room. It was a space that had no walls. It was a very open concept house. And what came to me that there was a bathhouse that was the bath and the toilets and all that were in different houses. You had to walk across the property to different building, and next to the shower portion there was a tucked away little room. You couldn't stand up in it, but there was a bed in there, and a friend of mine that I made friends with, it was her room with her partner, and I said that can I use that room? I need to lie down. And I can't go anywhere. Everybody went to satsang, and I basically laid my body down, knowing that something was happening that I had no control over. So I lied down, and I remember very distinctly that I was making, I wouldn't say peace or saying goodbye, but everything began to, I was going down at that dark tunnel. And I knew I had a small child, but I knew that it was like saying goodbye. It was like I could not hold on to reality anymore. And I was being sucked into a black tunnel, and everything disappeared. And interestingly, I didn't care anymore. There was no caring. I didn't matter. My life, the people, my child, my husband at the time, my body at that point, I didn't care about that anymore either. Everything just didn't matter, and something took over and it disappeared. So what happened there? There is two kinds of awakenings in my understanding, so two kinds of nirvanas. And I think it's the southern and the northern one. The southern nirvanas, which is the southern part of when you think of the four directions, the southern part is governed by fire and it's luminous, and the northern is dark and it's earth. And the way Kim Russell was describing the polarization of utter light and luminosity and utter silence and total potential and emptiness. Some people will experience the awakening in a blast of light that completely obliterates them, like a thousand suns. And others experience it as a complete dissolution of everything, where the mind, the instrument of being able to register and perceive reality so that you can actually reflect on where that BCE gets sucked back into. Consciousness has expresses itself as mind, and it gets sucked back and it collapses, and there's nothing to reflect on. Duality BCE stops. It completely stops. And in that process, ego stops. Everything we leave, it just doesn't exist. You don't have anything to reflect on. This whole thing must have, I think it was about 3.5 or 4 or 5 hours. I remember somewhere at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I was looking at the clock. I came back to my awareness, and I remember I didn't speak for a while, and I went and got up and walked over to the wraparound porch, and I just sat there. And what happened was that very strange flies began flying around my crown chakra in circles. And several of the people that were, some of them who had given satsang before, everybody was starting to sit around me. You know, about 10, 11 people, they quietly just sat around and just sat, and we all sat there quietly in silence. And that evening, my teacher at the time, we had some kind of event. It was like, it was always, they were called parties, but we would just go visit other houses, and people were also, it was like a big satsang circle that was kind of traveling around the world, you could say, and visiting. And she sat next to me, and she didn't even look at me, and she just burnt my aura up. It's almost like all the residue that was there, she just burned it up. And then she kind of turned around, smiled at me, and walked away. And 2 days later or something, she had to leave because time was up. A lot of people were moving on. They were going back to India. I was 5 days later going back to Canada, and she looked at me, she said, "And now what are you going to do?" And I said, "I'm going back home. I have a child to take care of." She just smiled, and she gave me a scarf. And I, after they left, a lot of people left, I spent most of the time on this hammock, and I just was, we might call it today, burning karma. I was just spending hours and hours and hours just in this hammock with my eyes closed. And one person thought that I was sleeping all the time. And he said, "My God, I've never seen somebody sleeping so much." I mean, I wasn't sleeping, but it might have looked like that to others. I couldn't. I was just folding everything inward and letting it go back into the core. So there are experiences where when you fold into the nothingness and you come back out, you are never the same, and something's left you. And for others, there might be an experience of a dazzling light that obliterates you and is more explosive, where you also explode and you disappear. So it's either one or the other, because there's still the mind that is catching experiences on the way there, if you can put it that way, on the way there to the awakened, you know, moment, or the obliteration of the self-reflective agent, which is the ego. It's not that anything's really happening to you. It's more like you stop self-reflecting, the habit of splitting yourself and looking, that goes away. And there are then the integration years that are quite pleasant in some way, because you're quite peaceful. Some experience a sense of the void, and just a sense of transcendence. And then all this starts to drill itself into the body, and the sense of I, which is now more of an impersonal I, comes back alive as a larger, it's a larger sense of I. It's really hard to describe, but there isn't an emptiness, because nothing in the realm of experience remains the same. This is the most important piece, that the experience of life continues to change and evolve, but there are certain things that remain. And to discuss the details of that, it might be a little early. But so I hope that you enjoyed that story. My story was unique. Your story will be very unique. And and sometimes you go in and out a few times. Now, what was happening for years after that was that because my experience is, I can go in the light or become the light at will, or sometimes it envelops me or I become it, but most often it is also a strong emptiness of disappearance where everything gets sucked back and disintegrate into a black hole. That might be very much, you know, useful for the present times of eating up the patterns that are useless and that need to be let go of and changed. I was a nurse, and as a nurse, you learn that if you've ever seen somebody die, there is a particular breathing process, and it's called Chain-Stokes breathing. That's the way I learned it in Germany. And it's a particular breathing. If you watch the person dying, a few hours before they die, they begin a breathing process, very laborious. They breathe like in very strong, and then it starts to go down, down, less, less, and there's then a stop. There's no breathing, no breathing, no breathing. They stop breathing and they slowly again start again in little waves and then bigger and bigger and bigger amplitudes. And then it goes back down. There's a stopping. It's almost like you run and try to jump and then you go back and you try again. So this is a breathing that only happens to people when they die. Well, that began to happen to me after my awakening. I began to keep dying, but consciously. The longest was about 3 days. I would lie and I would go through these death breaths and I would just be pulled down, but I never really ever lost complete consciousness. I would remain pure awareness. There was always something that was alert or there. It wouldn't go away. And so that continued. So after you wake up, there's a lot that happens because the body, physiology, everything that you are as a soul connected with needs to come on board as well. And so that's where, you know, healing can come in and assist to increase the frequencies and, you know, all these things. So now we're in the power module, and many of you have discovered that you are mystics, because the mysticism is the ability to move through dimensions. What's the difference between psychism and mysticism? A psychic apprehends and notices, reads energies in the multidimensional existence, and a mystic moves through the dimensions. You do this through with a double that exits at the navel center, and that's the double that healers often use, shamans use. You might be using in some way without even knowing. If you're a mother and your child is somewhere and you heard your child fell at school and it's hurt, you might actually exit, and part of you is going to help this child. So some of it might be happening unconscious. But a mystic becomes conscious of it and begins to travel on timelines and energy signatures in order to do something, to alter, to receive information, to alter them, to change things essentially so that they are useful for you and the collective. Now, then in the context of this, we have to obviously understand that when you use power and when that comes online, you have to be extremely neutral, so there can be no emotion. I think I talked about it in the last call, that a surgeon has no emotions. They're very concentrated. Think of a brain surgeon standing 10 hours or longer sometimes and doing surgery on somebody. Everything has to be brushed away, being tired, being fidgety, maybe an itching on the forehead, maybe having to go to the bathroom. There is a total focus on the task at hand, and completely shutting down all other elements. So you could say many people that are doing certain kinds of work that need a lot of power. They need a lot of power to actually be able to do that. I mean, a pilot even that is maybe in a situation of, I don't know, I'm not a pilot, they have a lot of automatic stuff, but let's say they're in a situation that's critical where they have to be really alert and can't allow themselves to have fear come in or have an opinion on it, if they like it or not, because the opinion of liking or not, the attraction or aversion, will color your use of power, and the energy will basically veer off into destruction. It will be abuse. It will not be useful. It will be abuseful. So being impeccable, being noticing where you act and where you're not, what you say and what you should hold back is very important when you're in the power modules or when you're noticing you're growing more into a mystic. Now, I have to also congratulate everybody to this new paradigm, which is something that's happening within the experience of mind. So within the mind, we actually moved and the world is different. And there was a question by Milene regarding habits of traditions of giving offerings and such. And you probably, some of you might have noticed my comment is that everything has dissolved. If you look into the energy now, and as a mystic, you actually just check, you look, you read. As a psychic, you read. You will see everything is in specks. There is no fluidity anymore. We don't let things flow through us anymore. And with that said, I might have to upgrade some things now in some of the MP3s that I've recorded from the past. So bear with me, there might be some upgrades, and you know, maybe we have to point towards things. Everything's just changing so fast, it's hard to keep up with. And to be very in the now and noticing that if you are in your core and you're present, that you might feel like giving offering to the earth, you might give a sense of gratitude and all these things, but not from the structures of believing that there is a duality there, that you have to do something so it's cyclical, it comes back to you, because these are still cyclical traditions. They're still based in time and space. And what we're experiencing now has never happened on planet Earth. This is a completely new event. This is the great experiment. And what that means is the whole other discussion, you know, that we might have to do in the other group. But for everybody here in this course, is that it is easier to let go instantly and to not have to make it so complicated. Don't think so much in. I noticed that the layers of issues are actually not really layers anymore. They're more like you put your attention somewhere and you bring your light to it, which is your awareness, and then things begin to disintegrate. They just unglue. So the main tools continue to remain the same, because you have to be able to be present and you have to hold an emotional center, because that's the gift of humans and also the downfall of humans. We're emotional people. We get enslaved in that way, and we also are a wild card, because we don't know how people respond. We don't even know how we respond in the next moment. Everything is constantly different. We're definitely not robots. So the Earth is, it's basically going to the Earth has changed, and the only patterns that exist are the humans that hold it together. But holding it together takes energy, and if you want to let it go and drop, you can do it right away. And in order to do this, the meditations are important, and a processing method that keeps your emotions centered and clear. Because remember, the whole idea of waking up means to wake up out of duality. This is the polarities. They have to be really deeply understood. All of the suffering has to do with your attraction and aversion. And if you're suffering, And if you believe to be this body and this person and this life and this drama and this thing and this car and this house and this child and this tree and this whatever it is, this job, you are experiencing yourself in a 3D separate form. You're having a structure there. So it is the invitation to at least shift into 5D identity, or with my invitation to shift completely out of any identification and to be nothing. To be life itself. So both are great, and it's very, very simple now. So we're seeing that people are just radically waking up here in this course, and I'm looking forward to everybody else to wake up at least fully to 5D, if not to really let it go all the way. So it is very exciting, and we're going to have to see how this continues, because things are really, before I came onto this call, and I apologize for my lengthy introduction here, but there was so much information flooding into me that I wasn't even sure what to talk about, because in the language we go into in a line. And so here we are with what I presented to you today. So let's take some callers and anything that you would like to ask, if it's related to what I just said or if it's something else, it's all good. So I'm going to start here with in California at 805-602. Who's that? It's a cell phone number.
Hi, Latima. Good evening. This is Ruth Jean.
Hi, Ruth Jean. Hi there. Okay. How can I help you? Would you like to have some comments or questions?
Yes. Thank you, by the way. I know I came in late, and I listened to the modules as they arrive. And it is quite, I don't know what to say. I'm in it, and it's like a confirmation of everything that happened. That's all. It confirms everything that happens. Like I arrive in a certain point of my life.
Yeah.
Like remember my first talk with you and the first call that I joined you. I was telling you that I saw my the big part of me hugging me, like missing me. And when I started listening to the module, I was just happy. It's like, it's my world.
Okay.
My world.
Okay. Well, the happiness matters, and it gives you a sense of freedom, right? And you're just who you are in that moment, that happiness, right? Can you experience that right now? Yeah. Yeah, thank you for sharing. Yeah, the sense of being in the right place and saying the right things, and not right in terms of judgment, but just being right on target is very important to really cultivate that this year and in the next year. So to constantly please yourself, pleasing yourself to live your truth, live your joy, and then use all the tools that help you get there. So are you doing a meditation? Are you doing that regularly?
Yes. You know, I meditate like 3-4 times a day. I told you I started my my mantra for searching for my teacher inside of me and outside of me, wherever they appear. And then last night, after listening to I received my module one, I said, wow, like from the mass, from getting a PhD, then I went to kindergarten. But it was so beautiful, because the message is very clear. I'm just one letter or one word away. That's what the message was.
Yeah,
I don't know what it means.
That's true. The moment you have, the moment you make a word or have a thought, you have you, that's away from yourself, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But your word was like a, either confirmation or seal me or put me to the next level. You know, like one single word or one single letter put me to the now. I mean, I'm evolving, and like now, the next present, the next present.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly it. That's all you look for, to be always in the now, if there's any looking. And without the looking, you go in the now. Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, thank you for sharing that. Yes, it is.
thank you for taking me home.
Well, you know, it's really, I don't take any, it somehow it happens. Who is really doing it, right? Okay, Rustine, thank you. Okay, bye. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye. Okay, this is Cindy. Okay, Cindy, hello. Hi there.
Hi, Rasima. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I don't know who I am. There's lots going on, yes, on one level.
Thank you so much for your beautiful sharing this morning. Well, it's morning, very early morning.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I don't really have any questions. I just wanted to, I hadn't connected with you for some time, so I thought I'm going to wake up.
Yeah.
So just so that I can sit with you.
Okay, I received your essay, and I'm going to give some answers to that. And I want to maybe point out, I have a few things that I kind of remember from reading at one time, is that to make a difference between the body, the health of the body, and waking up. And I know we always mix that up. Everybody does it constantly. And because we think that we're this body. But the waking up is about the fact that you're not this body. And because when you die, when you drop the body, then you really know you're not this body. So it's a borrowed thing, right? So you make sure that, you heal it, you take care of it, you pamper it, you do whatever it needs. You know, you train it, you make it work out. If it doesn't function very well because it doesn't have very good genes or got, you know, put through a lot of abuse, you know, through chemicals or bad food or environment, you know, we'll do the best we can. And in the 5D world that we live in, yes, we actually have access to, or let's put it this way, there is more DNA coming online, and basically there are things in the world of phenomena, because the body lives in the world of phenomena, things can change in the body that we couldn't do before. But let's not get confused that there is an attachment to the body, an identification with the body. That is the illusion. That's what I offer, to wake up out of that. Like I said to this other person, I think it was Milane, you can wake up anywhere, even in the most horrible situation. And people that are in the best situation, they don't wake up. They go to heaven and still not awake, because they come back, you know, to planet Earth too.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think I do.
Mm-hmm.
I think you speaking about it, something sort of clicked into place.
Good. Yes, I can see it, and it's letting it really click into place, because the identification with the body is layered with a lot of story of, let's say, disease and all this. And so now you think that you have to take away that, but you don't have to. It's more, remember to just be present and real, and really not landing on the idea of I am something.
Okay.
Do not land on it, because right now in this moment you can be free, right? You are who you are, right?
Yeah,
is that which is speaking to me, and that one, is that the person, and is that the body, is that the one that has different things or not? Is that the same?
Well, it would be different.
Is it a question, or do you check for yourself?
Gosh.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you want to look more into that, it gives you a lot of freedom. Even, you see, because there is a sense of your being something, right? There's you being something, being Cindy, right?
Right.
Everybody here on the call, you're being something, but you can also not really land on that and just notice that are you really being something, or is it always changing? That being something is actually has a substance to it. Can you sense that?
Yeah, I can get a sense of it.
Yes, exactly. That's, I know you're looking perfect. That's really what most people call the soul. There's a sense of you being, you know, that one that can actually, that is suffering through the identification with the body. It appears to be locked into this drama of life and death.
That's yeah, I definitely real, can relate to that. I do that a lot, especially because of the illnesses and that, you know,
Yes, a lot of people do, but true waking up is basically seeing this as a reflection of that which cannot be named. It's a way of looking and giving yourself density so that you have an experience as an individual. And that experience will always suffer. And I'm going to repeat this. That which you sense as your being will always suffer if it wants to obey to its own egoic rules, if it wants to control, if it has attraction aversion. But if that being is completely surrendering and lets everything that is in that being, all the pain in there, if it lets it move up into the heart and be vulnerable to itself, you devour your own stuff.
Sure.
Let it just sink in. You don't have to understand it with your head. Let it all sink. Yeah. You're just allowing your entire being to unravel through that doorway that is reconciling the polarities, which is the heart. The light and the dark that causes this dance of suffering and ecstasy. So, okay, so now it's moving up into your brain as well. So we're going moving up the entire core line. I don't know if you can feel that right now, Cindy. Can you sense that?
I can.
Yeah. Let this transmission just percolate within you. It just, it's all it needs, and just enjoy what you enjoy with it, or let it all unfold, and we'll leave it at that.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Cindy. Okay, so this is Wilma now. Hi, Wilma.
Hello there.
Hi there.
I want to thank you for the session yesterday. It was absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. And I noticed I feel free, totally.
Yeah,
free.
Yes, you're free too now.
And I recognized that I feel lighter, and the lighter is because I don't have to do anything anymore.
Yeah, it's right. That was your last veil, that habit, that because this happens a lot when people have worked, have been on the path of enlightenment for many, many lifetimes, then this doing becomes at the end needs to be discarded. I talked about yesterday, all the tools, all the teachers, all the teachings, everything you need to discard at the end. You have to go with nothing, naked. There's nothing can remain. You die into. So some people, it's very dramatic, like I had it, you know, like a death. Others, it's just this little thing just kind of goes off, and it's just like, you know, like that. So yeah, there's nothing to do now.
Thank you, except I'm working on peace.
You're working on the book, right? Is that what
I'm working on the book and a meditation that people can look at to keep them in the light and create peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In every part of themselves, and then which will then, of course, go into the world.
Yeah.
The other thing, when I listened to how I sounded when we spoke, I recognized I didn't sound coherent most of the time, and I realized that my mind was always so fast that the only way that I could speak coherently was to live in either an alpha or theta state.
Yeah, that can happen because there's all kinds of coping mechanism that the mind goes through, right? That the ego, in a lot of subconscious ways of how the body, you know, wants to, or not wants to, it's not hard to say, but it can unfold in different ways. And some people are spaced out, you know, they think they're spiritual, but they're not. So, and they don't even notice, you know, so it can all be all kinds of things. So now you notice and you can see now how clear you are. I think everybody can feel in this call. There's a sublime frequency of freedom and spaciousness now where there is nothing when I can move through you and I can't grasp anything. There's no structure, right? Yeah.
It's like walking in the void in a state of bliss.
Yeah. And it's even more nicer now with this beautiful 5D frequency. So all you have to do is to not, you've done a lot of previous work in the body, so I can see you won't have to deal with this so much, where others maybe in this course will, because they haven't had all these decades of clearing. You're older, so you've done a lot of, you punched a lot of holes into the body matrix, you could say. So but others, they might find that they're that egoic structure that's kind of, it's not really needed anymore because we don't have structure, but there's still the self-reflection that constantly goes on in order to actually function with other people, because you're still, otherwise you go insane, right? We still need the sense of seeing things, right?
Yes.
Don't ever let that crystallize. Just remain still. Don't ever let it form or become fluid or become something, or just don't land on it. It's all, yeah.
Yes, thank you. And I'd like to ask something. We mentioned it yesterday. I don't know if any other people on the call have this situation where I became very sensitive to cold drinking or having anything in my mouth that's cold.
It's possible. We can do a quick process here on this because I was saying to Wilma
that I
was actually noticing, and Jason as well, it's like there's like your teeth. I think it has something to do with the electricity. The teeth are just kind of more sensitive. So if there's any tooth sensitivity going on, so we can just allow that to disintegrate and not have to experience that, and also not to be antennas for all kinds of frequencies that we don't really need to pick up on. Okay, take deep breath and all right. Yeah, it feels kind of dense there. Okay. Are we good to go, Wilma?
We're good to go, and thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, bye. Okay, so now we have 61421. Hi there. Who's that?
Hey, Ratima. How are you?
Hey, Ray. I'm good. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year as well. I was literally just wondering about your awaking up story, which you went through this morning, just yesterday.
Oh, really? So I
and
guess
you
I answered.
Brought it up. I was like, yeah, how cool is that? Yeah, yeah. It was really cool to hear it. Hey, what was the ashram you went to on the Gold Coast?
It's not a public ashram. It's a private place that was bought by four people, and two of them lived in Papaji's house. They were there to give him his diabetes injections and stuff like that. And so that was where I buried a third of his ashes, and the other one third is, I think, in Germany, one in India. And so it's not a public place. It's at the in the Byron area, and
Byron Bay.
Yeah, in that area, but it's actually not in the town. It's out. It was outside, so that was the reason. I was quite far from anything, so I knew if I got bitten by a snake, I'd be dying. So that's why I said I can't. So yeah, that's it. Yeah, so it was in Australia.
No, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And I was just sort of calling to connect, and I've been reading that Crest Jewel of Discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand everything a lot more now. I don't know how I'm going to catch up to get back to Module 4.
Okay.
I listen to this stuff all the time. I've been nonstop listening to it. You know, I've been up to date, but now going back through it all, it just has this different clarity. And
Yes. No, this is beautiful, and I think some others are noticing as well. What that reminds me of, that I'd like to mention, that the next few months might be very challenging for everyone because of several reasons. Because everybody's understood things deeper, things that have changed in the environment. And when we dig, because we have a deadline, right? The course goes 12 months officially, right? So everything is sort of piling up towards that. And some people are already feeling, oh my God, others are waking up. Will I wake up? Is this even possible? So everybody just know that I have been really working hard just in the last few days to hold this maelstrom of energies that's going on in the group. And so that I'll do my best to keep the balance in it and to assist you with it. And just to know that whatever you're going to go through, we're all now doing a few things at the same time. And we're just going to make, it's going to be exciting, but at the same time, allow yourself to go back and also allow yourself to sometimes be really confused, and that's okay. I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I will post some more books very soon. I am now thinking, which books should I post? Because I don't, there's the transmission of the beings in there is pure and clear. And the main tools are still the same, meditation and processing, clearing, egoic structure. But sometimes the cultural aspects have to be forgotten, you know, you don't get too hung up on that. But, you know, so I kind of, you know, I'll see what I find that kind of works for everyone. Okay.
All right, cool.
Thanks, Ray. Okay, bye. Bye. Okay, so now we have Glenrock, 3075.
That is me.
That's Antonia. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, my goodness. This is so amazing and difficult. You know what I mean?
Yes, I totally agree with you. It is
beautiful and yet harsh.
Yes. Can you say more about that? I'm sure lots of people will like it. Or do you have a question?
Some days, I had to repeat this, Aratim. I hope it's okay. Uh-huh. The experience I had with when I was meditating. First of all, I do my Om seven times, and then I sit, and whatever is going to happen, I just let it happen. Whatever, I have no expectations whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, your smiley face came to me. Mm-hmm. You're right here on one side, and just smiling, and put your hands on my head, and the energy went all the way down to earth, all the way, down past the earth, like the one meditation which I did.
Yes.
And I came up, all the way up to the sky, and it went all up to infinity. Mm-hmm. And I start shaking. And I was, this is so beautiful. This is no words to explain. I wish I can tell you, but I'm pretty sure you can feel it.
You're saying it happened right now, or was it previous to this, what we just did, early in the meditation?
Like 2 days ago?
Two days ago. Yes. That's what I got. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when I sit and meditate, basically, that's how I feel. I feel like how my core goes down to earth all the way up, and I can feel my chakras all connected. I can even see that silver thread that you talk about it, how they're all connected all the way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I see a lot of light behind my eyes.
Eyes, yes, okay.
And sometimes I can see the third eye, that beautiful yellow light that it goes up and comes back, goes down and comes back. I'm not sure how it like goes out and comes in. There you go. And then white soft light into this tunnel.
Okay, good. So you're basically, and a lot of people already are experiencing advanced meditations.
Okay.
And I was going to, of course, record that as well. And I think it's already recorded in some of the other coming modules. But what I can say is that the advanced meditation is part of it is to be very creative, which means is that as you are now, is because somebody who is having a hard time meditating is sitting and they're very crystallized in their ego, then all you're doing is you're fighting with your own ego that doesn't want, you know, to sit still. It's boring, and then the mind is busy and all that. So there's not much going on, really, until finally, boom, you're just basically let go and you're just being consciousness. And consciousness now, when it's free, it starts to unravel all these, you know, constrictions, these crystallizations. So the more advanced your meditation is, there's a lot goes on in these meditations. And it is important not to find that too interesting, to basically let it all just happen. And your attention is, like I said, be very disinterested and just really rest in it's just suggestions, either in the brightest light that you see, and be that, but it has to be natural. There's no grasping. So you're just noticing, you're being the brightest light, and you go with it. Or there is the nothingness, or there is something that some people describe, there's suddenly like a wormhole or something, and you kind of know. You see, when you're in advanced meditation, you know that this would be a way to climb higher and to exit an illusion, and you climb through these things, you fly through them, and then you find yourself in a let's call it more freedom or something. So when you either become that the Shushumna, that silver, you know, that central channel, if you see that, then allow yourself to become it, and then when you become something, you cannot see it anymore. So each time you become something, you don't see it anymore. It goes away. Am I making sense? Because you want to go away from it, having an experience of something. You become this, and then it goes away. Essentially, your mind will stop bringing up an experience, and then you will arrest in no experience. Are you following?
I've been in the empty before.
Mm-hmm.
I've been where it is empty. Yeah. Oh, the most wonderful feeling.
Yeah.
I've been there. And then all of a sudden, all those lights and all those things and all this stuff starts showing up.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. That's normal. You just let it all happen. Don't wonder, don't ask, don't try to enjoy it too much. You have to be very disinterested because you remain still. Do you remember? The more you watch it, the more you make it real. That's how you create, right?
And I try not to. I was like, no. And then I when I see this bright golden light behind my eyes, on top of my eyelids, you know, then I was like, no, I'm not going to pay attention. And then I closed my eyes really tight because I was like, maybe my eyes are open, but they were not open. And then it became so bright,
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's when I pay attention.
Mm.
So I thought, maybe I need to pay attention because it's not that light from the outside, is the light inside.
Exactly, and you can meditate on the light, and that means you become it.
Okay.
And how to do that is the only thing I can say is that you are not making this something you're watching, because then there's two, there's you and the light. But how can you be the light? Yes. You are being the light. And sometimes it doesn't work. You realize that you can't. There's a gulf between you and the light, and then you just let that be. You had that, right? You let it be because you're not ready to be the light. There's too much I there, and that I needs to be burned off by the light.
Okay.
Yes. Sounds all very technical. It sounds like that.
But
I'm just answering to how your mind works, okay? So this might be not the right answer for somebody else, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Antonio, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, you're welcome. Okay. Bye. Okay, so I'm unmuting Bile. B, hi, how are you? Happy New Year.
Hi, Happy New Year, Guruma.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. How are you doing? What's your question or comment today?
No, just connect and feel your blessings.
Okay. Feeling lighter now?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, bye.
Okay.
Bye, B. Bye. Okay, we have New York City, 8458.
Hello.
Hi there, this is Danielle.
It's Danielle, yes it is. thank you for this call. The energy on it has been very different. I think now that we're in 5D.
How do you feel the energy is right now? How do you experience it?
It's very clear.
Mm-hmm. Very clear, yeah. It's not so cluttered up, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I can really feel that on this call.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
And I was just hoping to connect.
Okay, let's be here for a moment. So, are you happy? Or, do you have a question?
I don't really have a question, but I can't say that I've really been happy.
Mm-hmm, I know. And when we're unhappy, there can be a hidden question, or there can be a comment. You know, there is a thought. You know, whenever there's a thought, there's unhappiness, or the opposite. I'm talking about a true happiness, there would be no thought. So there's a thought there, and it's right in your crown chakra. You can probably feel that. Feel into your crown chakra. As a mystic, you go in, you just read what is going on in your crown chakra. Can you feel the congestion there? Maybe not, but just can you feel it?
You know what? I was kind of feeling stuff. I thought it was more in my third eye area.
Okay, maybe you're feeling it there. It kind of goes through there. So if you feel into your third eye area and you're noticing the congestion, and when you bring your attention to the congestion, just bring attention to it. And when you bring attention to it, your attention is light, right? So it will dissipate it. When you're neutrally there without any thought, you're just neutral and you're just aware of all this congestion. You're just with it. Something happens. So it's lifting.
Yeah, I can feel some shifting.
Oops, there was a bad sound right there. Okay, make sure you don't push any buttons.
I'm not actually even touching my phone.
Oh, very interesting. We must have picked up something here. You notice something shifting. Okay. So is the happiness the same, or is there more happiness now?
I do feel lighter.
You feel lighter, yeah. Yeah, so you can do that, because I know sometimes you have a hard time meditating, right? Meditation is still a bit difficult. Yeah, so just check where this discomfort is in your body, and just be with it. Just be with it. Just be present with it, without thinking, and then notice how it begins to dissolve. It will dissolve because you're just present with it. And maybe you can use that for as a meditation. It's not really a meditation, but it's more like a, I don't know, let's call it a cleansing meditation. Maybe that will help you, and it will help you to, you see, okay, there's more confusion coming in again. Did you notice that?
No, actually, because what you're saying is I've had the thought to do that before, but
okay.
I didn't, this might be where the confusion is that I was going away from doing that because I was like, well, I'm not really supposed to be focusing on anything. I'm trying to still the mind rather mm-hmm. than focusing on an area that might be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. But that hasn't worked so far, right? It is very difficult for you, correct?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this is why I'm saying backpedal a little bit and do this again, what works for you, so that you can feel lighter, more happy, and so that you don't feel like you're just stuck, because you're stuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, stuck is not going to help. So I'm just offering you this to kind of backpedal and do a little bit what works for you, and then maybe go back to it in a couple of weeks and then see if sitting silently or with a mantra or something will work better.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Okay. Bye. Okay, so we have Alberta now at 4360. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Who's that? Hello? Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, it's you.
Oh.
Hi. Yes. Yeah, hello.
Oh, this is Linda.
Linda, okay.
I've had some technical difficulties again tonight, but anyway.
Is this Linda Carter? Is this,
No, Linda DePauli.
Oh, DePauli. Okay, good. We got I have three Lindas. So, okay, yeah. Okay, yes.
So, I have to say that whenever I have a contemplation, the synchronicity of how quickly you reply in the ways that you reply is just a beautiful experience. So, I thank you for that.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
I was contemplating my death recently.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And just part of because really, where is our deepest fear? One of which is dying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you shared your experience, it made me want to ask you if I can share experience with you and if you can help me sort of navigate my way with it.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So I had an experience where I was just doing something and I was all of a sudden not in my body and I was in a very, very deep space, a nothing space. There was nothing. And I must have been in it for a while because when I came back, I looked at my body and I had absolutely no identification with it, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a long time to get back into my body. And
in terms
I really
of days or talking about hours afterwards?
No, this was maybe half an hour.
Okay. So it took okay.
And so I really recognized that this is an illusion. I had that experience with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The question is?
So the question is that, so I can go back to that space, and yet I think in part you've already answered it because I was, you said that stuff is going to be coming up again. So I know that I can anchor into the space of nothingness. I know that that's where I can be. And yet I'm finding, like I'm literally cleaning up my house again. I'm really feeling that stuff is coming up within me. And I can sit and be with it. And yet I can really feel the emotions that come up too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good if you can anchor into, but there's somebody anchoring into the nothingness. There's two, right? There's you and the nothingness. And what matters is that when you come out of it, that there's a sense of you is gone and it remains gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really care about waking up anymore. So the search stops, the seeking stops. There's nowhere to go because that sense of ego that wants to go somewhere just it's just gone. It's like this is one of the things that a lot of people describe, that they just don't care anymore. It just doesn't matter. You don't care. Like, what is enlightenment? That moment, it just seems all like a very crazy concept. And but at the same time, you will, I'm not totally sure about your question, so this is why I don't really have exactly the right words to you to answer. I'm not sure, do I go right, left, in the middle? Is you know, because what exactly is your question? Maybe you don't know this yourself.
I think that's true. That's very true. I'm going, what is my question? And I think it's because, what's the next step here? Is it because I've got a strong mental body here, a strong mind, or just keep going?
See, good. The thing is that the fact that there's this person asking this question, this is an indication that you need to continue to stop thinking and to just, you know, be still. You do your meditations where you do nothing and you refrain from, you have to see that there is somebody wanting to know somebody something. You have to see that there is a desire, there's an attraction, aversion, and you keep doing that, and you keep basically not, you learn, especially once you've really kind of fell into the nothingness, then you kind of, it's so much easier to actually refrain from engaging, because I find it's hard work to really engage so strongly in the self-obsessed kind of life. And so just let that go more. Maybe you need a bit more softness in the heart. What I mean with that is not seeking so hard a result at all, not caring, just do everything with more love, you know. Just if you clean up your house, do it. If it doesn't happen in the moment, then you don't, or you sit and meditate, and if it's busy, then it's okay. You just have a little bit more lightness with everything, so that need to arrive somewhere can go. Am I making sense?
Oh, that makes perfect sense. That's very much, I feel, as a blessing. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, you're welcome. Thanks. Okay.
Thanks.
Bye, Linda. Bye. Okay, so this is in a web call in Chad's Fort. Who is that?
Hi, Ratima. It's Rosemary.
It's Rosemary. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a new place. I don't know where that is. Palo Alto or something?
No. We have snow right now, so no, it's the East Coast.
Oh, okay.
It's straight south of Philadelphia, between Philadelphia and Washington, D.C.
Okay,
Yeah, so it's my home.
Oh, okay.
So I have to thank you. Your experience, I was watching, as you were talking, I had my eyes closed, and I just kind of watched you go through this. And in some ways, it was kind of terrifying. In other ways, I could feel how incredibly, no other thing to do but do what you were doing. And it's like, oh my gosh, is that something that we're going to experience, of course, in the other way, the light, right? So I thank you. I really thank you.
Yeah, you know, there is usually, you know, we always, like, I wanted always somebody to say, oh, you know, you're awake and now you're done or something. Interesting, you don't really get that. I mean, you know, I say it sometimes, but essentially it's always a dangerous path, because there's always comparing, and it can also get people stuck. You have to know that the seeker left, and you have to then really be here. And there's this whole exploration and discovery that goes on afterwards that, I mean, people talk about enlightenment, what awakening is for centuries and what it's like and all this, but you will know at some point. And when, as long as there's a doubt, then you are either having a habit of doubting, and you're bored with it, and you might even just want to drop it, or you're actually really wanting to know, and there's a pain and a suffering. And if that's there, then there's ego, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
Yes. Yeah, I've noticed I noticed that a little bit less ego in my life, and it's so much better.
A good, and if you have that more space there, and you have those empty spaces where there's no ego, where it's sort of, it's like a, it's a seed that's not, that's, it's not, nothing is sprouting, but you know, yes. you still have to, you, but you see, but as long as they're raw, they will sprout sooner or later. So you want to really keep roasting. This is why people after awakening still sit with their teachers, or they still continue. I mean, I really waited the 5 years before I even started to give satsang, because there's a whole other story with it. With a friend that I had that actually guided me there, that brought me there. You won't find him on the internet. And he had sat with every master on the entire world. A lot of gurus are past now. He was a walking encyclopedia of information. He was slightly handicapped. He was about 10, 12 years older than me. I know where he lives. He is completely obscure. And I always said to him, you must write a book. And he said, oh, no, I'm not writing a book. So I would sit with him cross-legged, and I just ask him all these questions about these people. And believe me, I have forgotten a lot of it, but some of it, you know, I remember. And so it was like, I was like it felt like I was in the center of everything I needed, wanted to know. And so he said to me, don't do any satsang for the next 5 years. Wait, it's going to take a while to all this integrate. And so I did. And I began satsang, I think in 2000, I don't remember. It was 2005 or something. Yeah. It was about 5 years later. Yes, so that was a little side comment there.
I was following. So just maybe a question about meditation, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't think much at all when I meditate. I'm happy.
Good.
Happy to meditate.
But you just said to meditate, there's nothing there, right?
Yeah. Nothing going on.
Good. Just let it happen. Just let it happen. Nothing. Stay with the nothing. Stay with the nothing. Yeah, just stay with it. That's good. So there's not all this clutter being burnt up and this drama going on and all these spiritual history that needs to be burned off and moved through and all this. So it's pretty clean. And I know you've been kind of so a bit in the background, so you've been really kind of just letting all this sort of becoming very neutral, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Good. Good. Yes. Good.
She knows I'm being neutral.
Yeah. No, that was very good because sometimes we're very active and we need to all spit it out and really, you know, bring it out. And sometimes there's times where we just really need to. So it feels like a letting go and a dispassion, you know, to everything.
Yes.
It's like nothing seems to matter, but you as the watcher are conscious of, again, things are constantly changing and you are staying with your process, you know, and there's no right and wrong. And yeah, and I'm aware of that. I'm aware there's just so much going on, so many different stories right now in this course. It's, like I said, it's very busy for me.
I bet it is. I mean, I have to thank you again. I'm really grateful. Just vast what you offer. So I get a sense of it once in a while, but not even a sense, I'm sure, just a wee bit. But so I won't take up your time, but I'll keep going. And one time I did hear you in a little meditation I was doing.
Did I say something?
Yeah, you said, you're doing okay. Keep going.
Good.
I was grateful, so.
Good.
Thank good. You.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. Are you going to be on the call tomorrow?
Yes, I will be.
Okay. Oh, great. Okay. Thanks, Rosemary. Okay, okay. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Okay, and we have, this is Katya. Hi, Katya. How are you?
Hi, Retima. I'm doing great. Thank you. I actually wanted to do a little sharing.
Yeah.
As you suggested, I did it changed my diet, and actually I lost about a kilogram, and now I'm sleeping well, and like 7-8 hours, and I still feel that I don't have enough.
Beautiful.
Well,
that's
yeah.
wonderful. What would you say for others, you know, that have a little bit of congested liver issues? What was the main thing you took out of the or made different?
Well, first of all, I removed a lot of, I guess, protein or animal protein. So uh-huh. I'm still eating, but a lot less of it. Uh-huh. I also looked at the, you know, the liver cleanse, the uh-huh. one they, I don't remember, it's an Indian recipe. Basically, it's like a rice and mung dal.
Oh, khichdi, it's like a mung dal. Yeah,
yes,
khichdi,
yes,
very good.
The
yeah.
one. That's the one I was mainly eating. So, and
yes.
also having some oats for breakfast. So
yes,
that
yes.
really helps. So, and
yeah.
I, you know, sort of removing sugar and sort of all the meat
yeah.
products and bread and things like that. So it's definitely made a huge difference. So thank you for that.
Yeah, that's good. Perfect. Yeah. And the khichdi, you can make it in a vata, pitta, or kapha version. So if you have a bit
mm-hmm,
of heat,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you change the spices. Perfect. Good.
Yes, I read about it. So I did make it so that it suits myself. And I wasn't too good with Indian spices, maybe because I've never really integrated them into my diet. So I sort of made it rather plain.
Yeah, it's better even, especially pitta is as plain as possible. I mean, once the spring comes, in Ayurveda, you actually do khichdi cleanses as just a spring cleanse and just plain rice and boiled vegetables. If you have really inflammation in the body or anything, just eating that for a few days, oh boy, it's very boring. But it's, yeah, pitta cleanse is no spices. Or do the cooling ones like fennel and all that.
And also wanted to share that with the power module, it's actually quite interesting. I had this piece of furniture that I wanted to sell, and it was there for, I don't know, a few months. And actually today during this call, somebody came and bought it. So I was like, wow.
Oh, good. Good. Did you get good money for it?
I got what I asked. Actually, I got more because we helped them out and they gave us a little bit more. So that was great.
Oh, good.
And just a question. So, I just wanted to check, am I developing equally on my sort of core line, or am I where I am with oh, I don't
Such
know, if it's just a question from Ego wanting to know something. Oh.
No, sometimes, like I said, things have to sort of suppress and you let them out. But why I'm laughing is because it's such a question of a mystic. It's like it's so technical, right? How is the energy over here and there? Is it even, right? Right? A bhakti would never ask these questions. So it just gives you totally away. So, let me help you instead of me telling you.
Okay.
You know, to kind of really just kind of check with yourself, go to your third eye, go to your heart, go to your belly point, just feel into yourself and just get a sense, does it all feel even? Do you feel blocked up somewhere, some area more open than the other?
Well, I'm feeling that my third eye start coming up. I do have a lot of sort of nose bleeding and things like that, or I had that congestion, so... You know, that I still have that, what it's called, post-nasal drip, and I'm kind of sensing that it might be related to third eye, but...
How do you find your heart? How do you find your heart?
I found that there is always warmth in there. No matter what I do, I always feel it there, but I don't know if it's just Shakti moving or if it's the actual, if it's heart.
What is there? I didn't hear the word. What's always there?
I don't know if it's the energy moving or if it's the actual heart center.
Okay, let me ask you more, let me ask you, when you put your attention to your heart and your being, your heart, how does that feel to you?
It feels loving, it feels warm.
Okay, good. And when you go down to the belly center, how does it feel, how is it you being the belly center?
I don't really feel anything there.
Uh-huh. So good. That answers your question that, you know, in terms of developing, right? Is it all
mm-hmm.
evenly developed? So the belly center, you're not as aware there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not as awake there, right? So you might want to meditate more on that area, which takes away the pressure from the top.
Okay. Right. I see. Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, just, you know, allow yourself to really ground through all the way into source and then come back and then rest in the belly center. Is the Dantian ball exercise, that healing MP3, how do you do with that?
I am doing it. I can stay with the ball for, I don't know, let's say 5 minutes. Then I sort of drift away. Then I come back to it, which mm-hmm. goes back to that, you know, question of crystallization or whatever, the ego, or part of unconscious mm-hmm. that I'm not aware of that needs mm-hmm. to become conscious. And mm-hmm. that was another question. If there is something out there for me that you can help me to make it more conscious.
Okay. What is that?
I don't know, some sort of unconscious part that I'm not aware of that needs to become conscious.
Okay. So you're aware of a part of you. Okay, good. So again, you're exploring like a pioneer into unknown territories and you don't know what it is. Okay. Well, just make sure, Katya, that you are not leaving your center, the emptiness, the neutrality that you are, because you can also go out and explore everywhere, and you know, and then you're as an ego, as a somebody going all over the place. So that's not what we want to do. We want to basically, mm-hmm. you want to be first completely empty, completely neutral, and then if it's happening effortlessly, then you put your, well, you don't leave yourself, you bring your attention, put your attention on that place that you say, what is that? It's unconscious. And you can do a reading on it and just feel into the frequency, energy frequency, just hold your attention and rest. And as you rest there, you will get some information. It feels maybe dull, let's say it feels dull, I'm just making it mm-hmm. up now. Then you rest your attention on the dullness, and then you go, what it does, penetrates deeper, right? Then suddenly you might get an image, maybe you see a scene or maybe something else, and then whatever else it is, you rest attention into that. So you burn your awareness, your attention, deeper and deeper into what is. Do you know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes, so you remain always so present in the now, and you're very much in control, which means in self-control you remain yourself, and at the same time you allow your awareness to rest on something. But again, don't do it from a place of, I need to know something. It has to come from truly from your being, like something that's really true and honest, I would say. Honest is the right word.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, great.
I'll
thank
release
you.
Release it again. Then.
Yes,
I'll
yes.
try to do that. Okay,
okay.
Thank you so
yeah.
much.
Just do,
okay,
yeah.
bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah, and if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't work, that's fine too. Okay. So nobody else wants to ask a question? Okay, let's then. Good. Let's close our eyes for a moment and just be present here, and all the impressions, the mind was listening, ears were listening, reactions, the mind sorts, the mind agrees, the mind disagrees, the mind is neutral, the mind is always sorting, finding yourself in something, and all these things that go on, and just allowing it all to happen. It's nothing that is you, it's just taking place, it's natural, just letting that all sort of be what it is.
Shanti, Shanti.
Thank you. Enjoy your evening, your day, and this beautiful energy. And maybe I see some of you tomorrow again. Thank you very much. Much love. Bye. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.